Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Whatever I've been through, the moment I see you,
things are looking on. Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I'm back with the boys again tonight on a Sunday night to review our performance against the Gold Coast Suns yesterday. There were a few positives. The conditions were quite tough, not to make excuses. Another comprehensive loss, over 70 points this time. I put a question out for the listeners too as well, so we answered a few of those questions. Let's not waste any more of your valuable time. It was a long podcast. Let's bring on the boys to chat about it.
Boys, welcome back tonight. I've got the usual crew on Sunday, Mark, Frank and Jesse. Another couple of people lost last night, boys. I don't know what Frank's doing. Is that you, Frank, in the background there?
Moving Frank, stuff around. Frank, stop. He's burying a body back there. Frank, what are you doing?
Sorry, boys. Sorry,
that was me. Yeah. Already.
There's another Essendon supporter getting buried 6 foot under.
I'll put him on ice.
it's good. Fifth 50-point loss for the year, boys. Jesse, let's start with you this week, mate. Welcome, first off. Always a tough task going up to Darwin after a promising first quarter. We fell away again pretty quickly, didn't we, Jesse?
Yeah, the pressure rating was good in the first quarter, wasn't it?
And then
it was non-existent in the second. I don't even know if it registered. I don't know. Did we lay a tackle in the second quarter? I couldn't tell you. Yeah, look, I think the first quarter, I mean, it should have probably been all square or us ahead. Yeah. I think we played pretty well. But I don't think that really mattered. We weren't able to keep it going in the second quarter. Our pressure completely dropped off. We led some tackles in our forward 50. That's almost worth a medal, I think. After
a
what
ribbon.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we just didn't show up. Didn't show up after the first quarter. Really, didn't. There was a lot of passengers, I'd like to say. And I went pretty hard in a tweet last night. I pretty much said that Aldiu and Zerha should spend the rest of the year in the VFL if they're going to put out defensive efforts like that. Look, I actually. I put out a tweet just before I joined on air. I went a bit hard on LDU last night. Look, his effort was there in terms of his ability to get the ball. He chopped it up a bit, yep, but anyone can chop it up a bit. What I was annoyed at him at was his defensive efforts. But if I'm actually going to be fair, he's never been good defensively. He applies a lot of pressure acts, but he needs to tackle more. He needs to be a little bit more defensive minded in our team. That's probably one of my two criticisms of Aldiu. The other one is because he doesn't want to play forward. All of the other mids have to rotate it around him a little bit, which is a bit unfortunate. Look, I thought there was a few passengers last night. I think a lot of our kids and a lot of the better players that at least played well didn't play massive games. I think there was only really one or two players that I think had a decent night. So all in all, pretty disappointing, to be honest. And especially up there in what should be a grubby type of game, to concede such a margin is damning, to be honest.
It's interesting. I'll go to you, Frank, now. You look at the stats, and it's really weird because you look at the stats and you think, oh, no one's really played a bad game. You could probably say Blake Drury didn't have an effect on the game. And he got subbed out with six possessions. Maybe one or two others. Larky probably didn't do much. But we turned the ball over far too easy. I think we spoke off the air about this and almost ran out of steam in the humidity up there, in particular in the second half, didn't we?
Yeah, it's our Achilles heel, isn't it? We just turn the ball over far too often. I think sometimes we bite off that extra handball or whatever that we don't need to, and it just invites pressure from the opposition, and then we're too easy to score against on going back the other way. Like I think it was Jesse said before, we probably don't run away from goal as hard as we do running towards goal. And then you get that kind of result where, like you said, Dean, you look at the stats and you think, we seem to get our hands on the ball a fair bit, both contested and uncontested, but yet you sit there and go, God, it's, what was it, 12-goal margin or something like that is just really, really poor.
Mark, I think Clarko is trying to make some adjustments and changes in game, and I think the team we picked was suited to conditions last night. And Gold Coast play that ground really well. I mean, they haven't lost there since 2020. And after quarter time, I thought the conditions were quite dry and we controlled the tempo of the game. I mean, just a couple of stupid turnovers, one from kick-in, one from LDU, that led to two goals. But I thought we dominated that first quarter where we should have been probably 2 or 3 goals up. I mean, after that, you can say what you want. But I guess we just aren't used to those conditions, and that played a big part after quarter time, I thought, Mark.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. I'm not as doom and gloom as some other supporters are in the last 24 hours. And but to be fair on that point, we've lost 9 games in a row or whatever it is. We've won one out of 30 games now. It must be close to that.
If
you're a North supporter, you've got every right to be angry and sick of the whole thing. It's been going on for 5 years. But I felt like that after the game. I watched it last night, and I said to my wife earlier, I said, there was 3/4 of a bottle of wine in the fridge. I said, I know when we played badly when I haven't even got through a whole bottle of wine. It's been that bad a performance. But I thought about this morning, and I watched Clarko's press conference. And I think as much as people are getting frustrated with him repeating the same stuff, and I was a few weeks ago, because he does. He's been saying it for 7 or 8 weeks in a row. We know where we're at, blah, blah, blah. We're looking for the little wins. We just need to do it for longer. Same sort of stuff. But I watched him in the coach's box last night, and he was swearing his head off. He had his hand over his mouth. And I think he would have been pleased with what he saw in the first quarter, and I was, because they kept talking about the pressure index being well above AFL standard. And then, of course, as Jesse pointed out, it collapsed. So I just think, I don't know whether it's a fitness thing, a mental thing, or whatever it is, we can't sustain it for more than 20 to 30 minutes. And until we can sustain it for 40 to 50 plus minutes, we're not really going to stay in games or win games. And that's just reality, because the best sides in the comp, their pressure index is over 200 and they keep it up for 40 to 50 minutes. And if the other side is doing it, it'll be a close game. If they're not, it'll be a blowout unless there's something unusual happening. Mm. And we're not good enough at this point, anywhere near good enough, to be below AFL standard in the pressure index and then expect to be close in games because we turn the ball over too often. So
yeah.
We can't expect to win when that's going on. And I just think if Clarkson had it right in the first quarter, then he probably knows what he's doing. He's just trying to get them to get to that level overall. And he keeps saying we need to do it for longer. So I don't know whether that means that needs another preseason or two more preseasons of serious amount of running, because they looked that knackered by halftime. It was a joke. And they could hardly walk after halftime. By the last quarter, it was almost laughable, like how knackered we were. And look, I think all supporters have been saying we're not fit enough for a few years. I don't think you can make up that difference in one preseason. I think they did run hard last preseason, but it's going to take 2 or 3 years. And then we've got some players that do not want to run hard both ways. And I don't want to pick on Zerhar again, but he's a classic example of we can't have Archer and Comben giving the level of effort they have, and then have 2 or 3 others. And I agree with Jesse about LDU as well. He's a gun player. And, you know, the commentators keep pointing out he's a gun player, but he can't make the sort of mistakes he's making and the lack of defensive efforts he's doing. It's like it's got to be all in this sort of stuff. It can't just be a Comben and Archer thing and a Wardlaw thing and a Sheasel thing and even a McKercher thing. They've all got to do it. Otherwise, it falls over. So I don't think it's a coaching problem anymore. I was worried about that 4 or 5 weeks ago. I just think it's some of it's maturity, and I think we've got a few guys who aren't prepared to do it at the moment. I think they're going to make some tough decisions at the end of the year. Clarko said he's looking for premiership players, so he might have to make some tough decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think end of the year they're certainly gonna try and get four or five experienced players into the team. I mean, like you said, the young guys, they need a couple more pre seasons. As Frank's going at it again, I don't know what he's doing there. He's burning his garage down.
Bomber going further and further down.
But like these younger guys, they probably need another two or three pre-seasons to get AFL fit. So they're going to look at, I've got no doubt, four or five players that are over 28 years old. And they'll have to make some tough decisions.
I agree with that, Dino. If you think about Archer even 18 months ago, he tried to fast-track himself to be like ridiculously fit, and he ended up with osteitis pubis. So there's a limit to how fast you can make this happen with young kids in terms of their fitness, or they get, you know, they get unwell and their body can't cope. So, yeah, there's a bit of a balance to it.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Well, may as well go through some of the good stuff because we keep coming on here every week, Jesse, and talking about negatives. But Charlie Condon, 10 intercepts last night, 6 intercept marks, really growing each week into that role in the back half, becoming a really good intercept player, considering there's not much pressure coming from up the field. He's been a real shining light, hasn't he, since he's come into the team?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think apart from that one instance where Clarko chucked him forward and kind of threw it a bullet out of a bit of a... out of whack. He's really, really cracked in. I think the biggest thing is it's not even just his actual, it isn't actually his form that's making me happy. It's the fact that he's crashing in.
Yeah.
You see him get hurt 3 or 4 times in a game, and obviously you don't want to be seeing that, but it shows the fact that he actually cares. And that's the non-negotiable, you know. And I think I said that a few weeks ago. That was that instance. It might have been last week against St Kilda, where the biggest thing for me was when he crashed in, was in pain, got back and defended a contest. And last night he did the same thing multiple times. His intercept game was, absolutely fantastic. His ability to take commanding marks. He made a few mistakes, but that's fine. He's a guy who's learning to play the game down back.
Don't you reckon, Jesse, he represents the shinbone spirit as much as anyone at the club at the moment?
Probably more than anyone else in the team, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Amazing.
Yep, absolutely. He is the one that embodies everything that the club is meant to be about. I think the fact that he is performing the way he is, given everything that's going on, given how much supply they're getting, is really, really promising. And I think he's, it's something going forward. There is a lot of commentary about where does he end up, and they were talking about it last night on air in terms of, we think he should go back forward at some stage.
That was Dermot. Dermot said that.
Yeah, and I get it, but I don't think that's really an option at the moment because he goes ahead of the football and he's going to struggle still. Yes, he's going to give Larky something else, absolutely.
Maybe down the track.
Yeah, Look, I think it's definitely once he just let the guy play 50, 100 games.
Yeah,
just
let
him play 50, 100 games, learn a position, become good at that position, get some continuity in the body. Don't do it while he's developing. Don't throw him around while he's developing.
That's spot on, Jesse. That's so right. I mean, if he gets to a point where they go, well, you're one of the first picked in the back line, we're going to throw you in the forward line. It doesn't work. You're still one of the first picked in the back line.
Yeah, it doesn't throw off his rhythm. If you think about it, like a Himmelberg at GWS plays his whole career up forward, goes back, becomes a pretty good backman, and then they can throw him around. Let him learn to play a position before you start deciding where he's got to play.
Let him be one of the first picked every week so he knows his career is 100% locked in. The club's committed to him. He doesn't have to worry about that. I agree. I think that's fine.
And he's gonna play a much better game down back than he is up forward in our team. So let him do that and get the form and stuff. And then, get a stopgap for a forward at the moment.
I reckon they need to extend him this year.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Give him a good extension. Give him security. Just go, we know you're doing the right thing. If your body fails you, we'll back you in. Don't worry about it. They need to look after him. The guy risks body and limb every week in the same way Archer does. They need to look after those sort of guys. Like Zerha and LDU, that's fine. Look after them. But these guys are going to be body and soul and potentially future premiership players because they just give everything. I'd look after them first and then worry about the others. Sorry.
Oh, I completely agree. I'd be absolutely looking to give him an extension. But yeah, look, as I said, just give him some continuity, let him learn his position, and then we can work out what we do.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, see, yeah, that's yeah, and I agree. Yeah, just let him develop a position on the ground without throwing him up and back. So yeah, couldn't agree more there, Jesse. Well said, Frank. Colby McKercher turning into Harry Sheasel from last year. 3 weeks in a row of 30-plus possessions. 596 meters gained yesterday. I think him and Fisher, who had 24 touches in the first half, are starting to form a good partnership without Sheasel there now. With their run and dash, obviously there's a few turnovers happening there, but they're not the only ones. And I think it becomes a habit within a team that once a couple of players start doing turnovers, and I think it goes with everyone else. But I'm really liking his development this year, and I think it's been a bit undersold at the moment.
Yeah, and 6 intercepts as well. So you know, finding his own ball, which is good. And look, I mean, I guess my concern, Dean, would be a young body, just exposing him to a fair bit of contested footy in the role that he's playing, and heaven help anyone in our back line at the moment. You just hope it doesn't sort of, you know, doesn't cook him from having to play that role for the whole year. But so far, I've really enjoyed what he's done. Last night probably wasn't the best conditions to see his kicking skills, but I think he's certainly courageous in the decisions he makes and the way he tries to use the ball, and we certainly need that. So I've been really impressed with him. Love to see him another pre-season and love what he's done. Just that, obviously, being a young body, you hope we're not exposing him to too much too soon. But I've loved the fact that he's starting to find his own footy, contributing some intercepts, and he's pretty brave with his disposal. Though, obviously, last night the conditions probably weren't the best for him to, try and bring people into the game with his skills. But he's been very good.
Yeah, no, we certainly can't complain about him. You're breaking up a bit there, Frank, I noticed. So we'll see how we go anyway. We'll move on, Mark, and Jackson Archer becoming a very good small defender. He reminds me so much of his old man. And just, he's so tough, and a player like him could turn his culture around. We are desperate for more players with his heart in the team, aren't we, Mark?
Yeah, I love him. I've loved him since his first game. I don't think he's played a bad game at senior level. In fact, I reckon every game he's played at senior level has been better than his best game at VFL level, which tells you about his mentality. He's just so... He's quick, and he's quick thinking, and he's tough, and just like his dad, of course. Yeah, I love him. I just think he's an automatic selection for the rest of his career as long as his body holds up. And, of course, like Coleman, he's had some body issues. And most of those injuries that he's had have been self-inflicted by training too hard, which tells you all you want to know about what sort of bloke he is. I think he'll be fantastic at the club for a very long time. I think I kept talking about it in the first 3 or 4 rounds that we had too many running players out of the back line and no one who could actually defend. And he's fantastic at defending. So, and that's taken the pressure off McDonald, which has made life a bit easier for him because he was the only one trying to defend in those first 4 or 5 weeks and not doing a great job of it either, but he's got better. So I think, he's terrific. And he's just a terrific North person. It's so good for our culture. I think he fits in so well with what Coleman adds in that back line as well. It feels like the back line, actually, I think in the last few weeks, has been the least of our issues. A lot of it's been the midfield and the forward line that have been falling down and failing to convert opportunities. So that says there's some exciting opportunities coming in the next half of the year, I think. So, yeah, I love him. I'm just so happy he's playing well and he's got his body right.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he obviously hurt his ankle. I think it might have been the third quarter.
Tim at Brent was laughing. Oh, he'll be back. I'm going, he won't be back. He can barely walk. And, of course, he was. 10 minutes later, he's back on the ground.
Amazing. Yeah, we'll see how he pulls up. He might
have to miss the Essendon game. That's true.
Yeah, it might swell up a little bit, so we'll see how that goes over the next few days. Ankles can be a bit tricky like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some other players, and we might as well get your opinions. Now, Jesse, there's a lot of stuff being said about these next couple of individuals on social media. Even we've talked about him a little bit. LDU's game now came in for a lot of criticism. 35 touches, 9 clearances, 17 contested possessions, a goal, 5 scoring involvements. It reads pretty well, but obviously the big question is the defensive side. And I don't know. Look, I mean, there's been Gary Ablett never had a defensive part in his body, but he had good midfielders around him. I think he needs a little bit of help, doesn't he?
Yeah, look, he does. He's having to do a little bit too much by himself. Yeah. I think the thing is that, you know, your kids like Wardlaw, et cetera, they have flashes. Some weeks they have fantastic games, but they're not going to consistently do it at this age. It's very rare to get a kid in their second or third year who can consistently do it at a high level. You know, I can't think of a lot, other than Dacos in recent memory. As a midfielder, I should say,
Would he be copping any criticism, Jesse, if that he played a game like that playing for Collingwood?
LDU.
Yeah. Do you reckon their supporters in that game would it be glossed over because they wouldn't notice?
If you're winning, I think it makes a massive difference because then you're a little bit less concerned in terms of those type of things. But I think
because when Dean read out those stats, I thought, oh geez, I can't believe I criticised the guy.
The one thing I will say is there are some people who have gone and watched him train and have watched him and said that he's not a good trainer. So there are people who are independent who go to all the clubs, and yet they'll say North aren't a good training team, and you know that's probably accurate. But they'll say they watch him train, and I've heard some people say that they've described his training as lazy. Now a lot of that probably has to do with the standards at the club. What I would say, devil's advocate, is if he was at a Collingwood, he wouldn't be able to train like that. He'd have to train at a different level, and then we'd be probably seeing the LDU that we all expect.
Because I think that's the noble period. I agree with you.
Yeah, 100%.
Everyone was just paranoid about players leaving, and Jason Horne Francis and Tarrant Thomas were allowed to do whatever they liked, and it was just a debacle. So no one would have even noticed what LDU was doing, because in comparison, he would have been like Jesus. So, I mean, you know, that's...
Well, you're not wrong.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the reality of where we've been for the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, that's exactly right, and you're not wrong. It's something that has obviously creeped in. It's something that we need to continue to work on. Look, he didn't have a bad game, no. If he was at another club, would he be getting criticised? No, because it would be masked by other players. You'd have half. Yeah. The problem is that he is the only senior midfielder that we have at that level, where you're expecting them to perform. The rest are all young. The only other one is Jai Simpkin.
I think the good thing is we're seeing Comden and Archer, and as a supporter group, we're going, well, that's the level we want to see everyone else at. And hopefully that's how they feel at the club as well, as a playing group. Okay, that's who we have to aspire to. That's the level of effort that we all should be doing. It can't just be Chom and Archer every week and Wardlaw. And Sheasel and McKercher. I mean, you know, there's kids. There's too many kids doing it. I think that's where it needs. You know, hopefully that's where it's going to start from. And they'll go. Those guys will keep going. We're not going to put up with you not giving the same level of effort. And we'll start calling it out until the other. I think it's going to have to go beyond the coaches complaining. You know, in their one-on-ones, and they don't publicly humiliate players anymore, which is a good thing. But I do think when players call each other out, it does make a difference. And I think that's, as players like Chom and Archer get more games, they'll have more confidence to call other players out. At the moment, they're trying to.
I think they already do. You see Chom call
probably
in the field. Yeah. You see him calling out players when they're not putting in the effort on the field, which is absolutely what you want to see.
Bloody oath it is.
It's just disappointing that he's having to do it.
Yeah, it is a little bit disappointing. Now, Frank, I guess the problem with his game is the turnovers. He is sixth in the league for turnovers. We all seen that one in the first quarter where he went straight down the corridor, which cost us a goal. There was no coming back from that. He's actually equal with Harry Sheasel in the competition for coming sixth with turnovers, which is a little bit surprising. He's at a career low with disposal efficiency at 71%. He's up there for clangers per game as well. I mean, he has to, when he's got the ball, he has to be better with the ball in his hand, because even going inside 50, he's not hitting targets at the moment either, is he?
No, but he never has, Dean. So, I mean, that's, I think, the thing with LDU is that it didn't take supporters too long to work out that he's got a huge upside with his attacking ability and his ability to get away from contests with that explosive sort of step and half step and that. But he's never been a good kick, and I don't think he'll ever be a good kick. I think some players are just like that. Adam Simpson was a bit like that, worked his guts out and that, but you just knew that every third kick was going to be a helicopter. And I think that LDU is I don't think he'll ever be a super kick. I think we could try to, maybe as the game plan evolves and the players around him get a bit better, some of those, you know, half kicks hit a target or the players are good enough to get to it and it sort of masks over it. But I think we're just going to, it's what, 7 years now? You've just got to figure out that he's never going to be a great kick. He brings other things to the team that we need, but I don't think kicking's ever going to be his forte.
Well, he looks good kicking it, but sometimes, you know, he hits a target.
That's the weird thing, Dean. If you freeze it as he's about to get rid of it, he looks perfectly balanced and he looks great. But for some reason, he either doesn't spot the target properly or there's something in his decision-making that lets him down. But now, what is he, 25, heading to 26 or whatever? I don't think he's ever going to really change that. I think, as a few of the boys said, he just needs a bit more support, better players around him who can do that. And then he brings his you know, ability to win contested footy.
Yeah, I guess, Mark, what's really hurt in the club in the last 3 or 4 years, and players that would help him, is obviously Ben Cunnington, the whole thing with the cancer thing, because he was one of the, you know, bull midfielders in the competition. He was going to be a big part of our rebuild, and that's hurt him because he would have been, you know, a really good help for to release him into space. And the other one, obviously, is Taron Thomas. With what happened with him, I think he would have been a good complement for him as well. With the outside speed, he would have been able to give him a little bit of the ball. So he hasn't been helped with the circumstances, has he, Mark?
No, that's absolutely right. I do think I know for a fact they're looking for at least one or two mature bodies to help in the midfield next year, to try and alleviate some of that, whether that's a Pendlebury type, which will be hard to get, but, you know, that's the sort of person they'll be looking for, or, you know, a Ward, or, you know, there's a couple of others that they're looking at, just to try and alleviate that. Because, yeah, it's too much for LDU to carry, and it's too hard for Wardlaw and Cheezel at this stage of their career, in their second year. It's crazy. And unfortunately, Phillips has had glandular fever. He missed a year before he got drafted with COVID. So there's players like that, and Powell, you know, who's taking a bit more time, but he's really starting to look good. But you've got to remember, in the old days, in the 80s and 90s, Tipio Domenico and a lot of the gun midfielders of that period, albeit he was a wingman, but most of them, Michael Tuck played 80 games of VFL, of seconds footy before he played his, before he got in the senior side for Hawthorn, and then played 400. So we don't have that these days. You're just thrown in, and everyone's expecting someone to be like Nick Dacos and just dominate in their first year. It just doesn't actually happen. You know, that's not realistic for an 18-year-old. Players peak when they're 23, 24. Yeah. You know, the Harley Reeds and the Jason Horn Francis that are already big-bodied when they walk in, that's rare. It's more normal to be like McKercher and Sheasel and those sort of guys that are not big-bodied yet but are very skillful, so they can, you know, you can give the ball off half-back and they can get 25, 30 possessions and do a lot with it. But the big-bodied, heavy midfields, like, I mean, poor old LDU, he went from a schoolboy with that sort of reputation It took him 3 or 4 years to establish himself, and now he's got no support around him. So it is tough. Mm. And we do lack that. And the problem is, you look at sides like Hawthorn, Essendon, even Gold Coast, and particularly West Coast. West Coast have still got 6 or 7 or 8 guys, 29 to 31, that are supporting all their kids that are coming. They actually don't have many. I think personally we're better off talent-wise than clubs like Hawthorn and West Coast, but it doesn't look like that at the moment because we've got no senior players to help them. Yeah. And you're right, you're quite right about Cunnington. He would have been perfect for this year, next year, and the year after had he not had those issues. And unfortunately, that is the reality of what's happened. Goldstein and Zeeble, I think there was time for them to move on anyway. And Cunnington, yeah, unfortunately, had that, you know, the cancer stuffed him up. So that's hurt us in the midfield. But and Shields is not a big-bodied midfielder, so he can't really help from that. And what's the ex-Gold Coast guy we brought in from? He's playing the second ruck.
Greenwood?
Oh, Greenwood, sorry, yes. Thank you, Fran. I needed someone to save me. Greenwood's not really playing midfield. He's sort of playing as a second-ruck key forward. So, and he doesn't seem to have the legs now to play that role anymore. So we're a bit bare in terms of experience in that area.
Oh, we're very bare as far as quality experience goes over 28, 29 years old. It probably seems to be hurting us. Now, Jesse, we'll go to this next guy. He's copping a lot of criticism as well. That's Cameron Zerha. He has kicked 7 goals in the last 3 weeks, a pair of 3 goals in the last 2 weeks before yesterday.
Junk time goals.
Oh, well, still got to kick him, Mark. They're still in the book. It says what it says on the paper. Hey, I played cricket for a long time. Used to get dropped making 70 about 7 times, but on the scoreboard, it still said 70 runs, so I don't care. But a lot of people saying he's checked out, which I find that hard to believe he has. I think this is who he is, and he has always been this type of player. But we seem to be finding a reason to say he doesn't want to be here, which to me makes no sense, because if he plays good football, then he would get a bigger contract from whoever that club is. So I find it hard to believe, Jesse, that he has checked out.
Yeah, I don't think it's a checkout thing. I think our main concerns with him is, again, a little bit like LDU, a lot of the defensive efforts. And I even think last week, even though he was able to put a few goals together, again, defensively, just didn't seem to be there. There was some, you know, there was that Wardlaw effort in the last week, you know, last week, which he just...
He could have signed on any time he wanted in the last 3 months. Yeah. They've had a 5-year offer in front of him. I'm seeing nothing that suggests he wants to be at the club.
No, I agree. I don't think the heart's there. That's my take on it, is that, he's kicking goals because he's got the skill and ability to do it, but it smells a lot like the Mackay.
Flame in the VFL.
It smells a lot like Mackay for mine.
Ford Mustang, not there. Bring in Ford Mustang and Dersma back into the side. I cannot see any value in playing him at the moment.
The only thing is, obviously, and someone made a point when I made the same point last night, is, well, that's going to do great for his value. And I guess, you know, devil's advocate is, well, you know, we could have dropped Mackay and then he maybe isn't worth as much and then you don't get a Dersma. So do you play him and then at least keep his value
doing
up?
Doing too much damage. I don't care. Then they're only going to get an end of first round. It's going to be pick 24, 25 anyway.
Yeah, it's not going to be a Mackay.
Nah. The deal's already been done.
Yeah.
He's not signed with us now. He already knows where he's going. He knows what he's going to get paid.
Yeah, I dare say that he will be off at the end of the year. I'm not as old as some of the other blokes, but I dare say that he's made up his mind, and I think you can see it. He's happy to kick goals, absolutely happy to kick goals.
Well, he stole one. He stole one off Greenwood last night.
Well, that's exactly right. But
and he's laughing about it like it's a joke, mate. We're about 8 goals down. There's nothing funny about what's like. Anyway,
no. Nah, but then he doesn't. He couldn't
care less.
No, he doesn't defend. This is a guy, if you remember in the Reece Shaw year when he took over with Zerha, those games, there was that game against Richmond where he crashed in, got holding the ball about 5 or 6 times. This is a guy who got into the team building his game on high pressure, high attack. Now he just wants to be a showman. He just wants to take some marks, kick goals.
Nah, he thinks he's a media star now.
He's an absolute shell of the player that we thought he could be. Go, I don't care if he kicks a goal or not. Go lay a tackle. Apply some pressure. You should be the guy in the forward line who's actually applying pressure. Now he's just lazy,
Eddie Mustang forward any day of the week.
100%. 100%. And my biggest thing is actually the defensive things. It's that sometimes he just goes for these absolute, never going to go anywhere near it kicks. He's just a showman. Wants to go one way for mine. I'm not as sold on some of the other blokes. You know, some people talk about Aldiu and Scott and them have already making their mind up, etc. You know, I've heard whispers, but I think Zerha is the only one that you can actively see. It smells a lot like Ben McKay.
There's no issue with the effort of Aldiu and Scott overall. No. I mean, like, you can complain about Aldiu's defensive effort. That's always been the case. And the stats that Dean read out before.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
You can only criticise him. He's going too much one way, but not his effort. There's nothing wrong with his effort. Same with Scott.
No, but yeah, with Zerha, I tend to say,
I think he's bad for the. I reckon he's bad for the culture of the club right now.
There's a bit of that in me. If you're a kid and you're watching. Like, if I'm Wardlaw and I crash in like I did the week before, you know, last week against the Saints, and I do all the hard effort and then see him showboating around.
That's a fantastic point. Wardlaw does that 7 or 8 times a game.
Yeah, we can't
he
get
it. He used to do it once or twice, and everyone said, oh, he's the bull. Yeah, Wardlaw does it all game, every game.
You're making a fantastic point there. His nickname's the bull. Why is it the bull? It's not because he kicks goals. It's because when he first made a career, we're talking about a rookie-listed player who, when we give a crack at it, how'd he get games? He crashed in. He hit his opposition hard. He applied pressure. What's he doing now? He's not doing that.
Wardlaw does it 8 or 9 times a game. He does it once. Now, oh, there's the ball. Like, give me a break. Either you do that all game or you don't do it at all. Like, at the moment, he's nowhere. It's like he's middle of the road. He's become an opportunist, which is the last thing we need in that forward line, where we're famous for not laying a bloody tackle there. So, and he's not a key forward. He's not big enough. So he's in no man's land. If he doesn't want to be at the club, play him in the VFL. Well, they've got to have that conversation. If you don't want to sign, you look like you don't want to sign by the way you're playing. Then we'll play Ford and Dersma. We've got enough players in your position. You can spend the rest of the year in the VFL. It's up to you, mate. But if you're going to play, even if you are going to leave at the end of the year, you have to give 100%. Otherwise, we're not playing you. Mm. At the moment, it looks like, I don't know, they're going to have to make a call on that this week because Eddie Ford cannot play in the VFL all year and Dersma's certainly not going to. So, something has to change there.
Frank, have you got any different thoughts there on Cameron Zerha? Should we change his nickname to Bullshit at the moment instead of Bull? Or, I don't know.
Well,
you know,
but... look, it's a tricky one, Dean, because I think it's a bit like I think we've discussed before, you know, dropping Simkin or Luke McDonald as your captain. I think it's a big statement. I think if we drop him, that's his papers are stamped. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy at the moment that's going to go back to the twos, find his anger, and come back and kick 3 or 4 a game. So,
well, that says it all, Frank.
Yeah, well, it does. But see, I don't know how he's responding at training and you know what his efforts are like. We can see what he does during the game, and he doesn't look like a guy that's losing a lot of sleep when we don't win. But saying that, I've got if the club honestly feels that. Look, he's genuinely not giving us the effort that we need because we're asking him to do this. I mean, he had 5 tackles last night, so that was a big lift from his previous efforts. But if he's not doing what the club and Clarko's asking him to do on match day or maybe his training standards have slipped, I've got no problem with him going back to the twos. I just don't think he'll come back and play seniors again if we drop him.
No, that's probably fair. Just a quick one, Frank. Do you think he'd be better if we had a second key forward? Because he's always played the third forward a lot better than he's playing now, which is pretty much the second fiddle to Nick Larkin. Do you think Do you think a tall forward would help him?
Let's throw, for argument's sake, like an Eric Hipwood in there, right? I think all of a sudden Paul Curtis is a better player. I think Jaden Stevenson's a better player. I think Cam Zerha's a better player, simply because he would take that second defender. We'd be a lot less predictable going forward, because heaven knows we have to be the most predictable forward line at the moment. I think it wouldn't even have to be a top liner, someone like a Brody Majacek, you know, just someone that competes and brings the ball to ground.
Jeez, mate, I'd pay good money for Majacek at the moment, our forward line. God.
Well, yeah,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, just someone who competes and brings the ball to ground, I think would make a lot of those players better footballers.
What I'd give just to put Comben back there, if you could, but you can't.
Yeah, we can't. So, I would, Deke. I think he would be, but that's not going to happen. You know, we don't have one. Not this year, and it doesn't look like. It sounds like his body language, what he's saying, what his manager's saying is he's run out of patience, and he's playing like a guy that's run out of patience.
Yeah.
Mark, if he says to the club tomorrow, "All right, I'm happy to sign a 5-year contract," would you still want to keep him, or are you sort of done with him, like just say, nah, get rid of him?
I personally don't think he's the way forward for us. I honestly don't. I think Eddie Ford and Dersva and Braden George, don't forget, he's got to come back into that side at some point. I think they're going to end up being better options than him. So, and if he's only half interested in staying, I'd let him go. Because of all the players we can afford to lose in that club at the moment, he's probably one. Because we've got so many mid-sized forwards of that 190-centimetre type. So, if he was playing his guts out and kept saying, "Look, you know, I just want to be at the club and whatever," but he's not saying, he's going, "Well, maybe I'm sick of not playing finals. Maybe if we play finals this year, I'll stay," type comments. That was enough for me then to say, okay, off you go. Because Sheasel signed up till the end, you know, he's 4 years in advance signed up going, "I don't think we're going to play finals yet, but I'm going to try and get us there." And I mean, every supporter will love Sheasel for that. You know, for a long, long time, they're going to be loyal to that guy, because he's only been there for 12 months and he's already saying, I'm looking 4 years ahead. I can see where we're going to end up. I'm going to do everything I can to get us there. And this bloke's going, "Oh, well, I've never kicked more than 30 goals in a year. I've never come top five in a BNF. But boy, if we don't play finals, I'll be looking elsewhere." Mate, what have you done to get us in the finals? You've done nothing.
I was going to say, Mark, I don't know if you boys are aware, but he deleted his Instagram page about a month ago.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so he deleted his personal Instagram page completely, and he was getting a lot of heat on that from supporters. Yeah. And I know for a fact that his other Instagram, one that revolves around his cooking skills, he selectively deletes posts that are put on there by, I know, because a couple of my mates have done it, when they question him about, "Mate, if you were this committed to getting the ball as you are to, you know, making this sirloin steak, we'd be in a far better position."
I don't agree with people doing that.
I wouldn't
want to personally attack him. There's nothing wrong with him as a person.
No.
And I'd love him to stay at the club if he was committed, but I don't think he is. So. Yeah. And I don't blame him. It's his choice. Like if he wants to go and play elsewhere, that's up to him. It's his life. It's his, you know, the finances that he needs to build to make the best for his life. I've got no issue with that. But I'm talking about while he's here now, if he's not 100% in, then play him in the VFL. Yeah. I don't want to have another situation where players sit through the year like Jason Horne-Francis or Mackay or anyone else waiting to leave. I hate that situation. I think that's bad for the whole club. I think if his mindset is he's going, that's up to him. I've got nothing against him personally. But play him in the VFL till he goes and let Ford and Dersma play there alongside Braden George, because we've got enough players who can play that role. I certainly don't agree with personally attacking people. I don't get it. Yeah. There's nothing, you know, that's crazy. But, I don't care what he did last night. Looking at it, just looking at the way he's...
Something stunk about it.
Something's not right. Yeah, that's right. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move forward anyway, boys. I've got a few questions here. I put the question up on Instagram. Paul Tyson, Jesse, he wants to know what's happened to leadership on and off field. Science in these tough times are deafening. Well, we'll talk a little bit of leadership about on field, but off field, we haven't heard from Sonia Hood since she pretty much deleted her social account. Another person that's done it, including Cameron Zerha, by the sounds of it. But what can she say, I guess, at the end of the day, Jesse? She can't really say much, can she?
Look, that's a really, really good question. And I was thinking, I've thought a lot about this. I actually think, I've been a big fan of Sonia's, but I'm not really, and I understand that she's got a lot going on in her personal life. You know, there's a lot going on there. She's, and I don't think that the heat she's getting or the personal attacks or vile dialogue from some of our worst fans is warranted at all. But I'm pretty disappointed with her at the moment because as a president at a club that's the worst club in the history of this game, and that's where we are, that we are a bane on the AFL at the moment, where we're a 50-point loss every week type of team, even against the other worst teams. And we can't get boo out of her. You've got people questioning whether or not we should be a football club, whether or not we should be moved, whether or not the coach is any good. I haven't heard a whisper. The only one we've heard from was JB. Like, maybe it's just too much for her. Maybe she doesn't know what to do. I don't know. Yeah. But the Clarko fronts up every week because he has to. You know, I'd like to hear Viney come out and give a little bit more as well. But I kind of think him and Clarko are, to the point Mark made, are probably a little bit in the, well, we don't really care what anyone else is saying. We're going to focus on the footy and just get that job done. But it needs someone like the president or the CEO or something to come out and have a crack, say something. But instead we've got, you know, we've got Jen Watts, who's, we haven't heard anything from other than apparently an email around Taryn Thomas, but we haven't heard any. Now, I understand she's a CEO and you don't usually hear a lot from club CEOs than you do the chairmans, but you'd still be expecting to hear something. I've never even heard from her. And apparently we're paying someone to tutor, or I don't know what's going on there. And then, again, I fully appreciate that Sonia's going through a lot, but got to hear something from her. Got to hear something from someone at the leadership of our football club to say, this is what we're doing, and this is what we're doing on and off field. Because we're not getting anything at the moment other than the media dialogue, and the only ones defending us are Kingy and JB.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of talk. Obviously, Eddie McGuire's got involved and a number of others. So, like you said, we might get an email. That might be in a couple months' time or something like that. But, the science is deafening, and that's a fair point. One's Cairns, Frank, asked about Will Phillips' game and asked, was it a tag on Rowell and how you think he went as a tagger? If it was, I didn't notice if he was tagging Rowell. Did you notice anything there?
No, I don't know that he was. Yeah, I didn't notice it. But look, Rowell didn't. I didn't notice Rowell. That seemed to work quite well. It makes sense, you know. I think it's not the craziest idea to get.
Well, he knows Rowell's game. He played together with him for a couple of years.
Yeah, correct. And you know, it's sort of one way of bringing, you know, Phillips into the side and giving him, a set task to do. So I didn't hate it. I didn't notice if he was lined up directly against him or not. But if that was the case, I'd have to say that seemed to work.
Yeah, well, if it was. Look, and that's a great question. I'll keep an eye on that. I might watch an actual replay and see. Not the whole replay, but I might watch a little bit of the replay and see if he was matched up on him at stoppages. Because I did notice that Rowell, he was good. Like, he laid 12 tackles and had 19 touches or something like that. So, but he wasn't like his impact self. So, yeah, maybe that might be a role for him going forward, because at the moment we're clutching straws with him at the moment. Here's one for you, Mark. Nuffy, he asks, why does Rawlings still have a job?
Go on, Mark. Tell us what you
That's interesting. Well, Well, okay. Well, let's talk about Phillips then, because that would be one of the reasons he Nuffy. The reason Nuffy wants him gone.
This is the first time I've ever heard Mark speechless.
Can I jump in to help Marky? Well, quickly on rulings. I can understand people giving him a whack. Absolutely, I can. He's been disappointing. I think people expected a lot more from him. It seems pretty obvious in hindsight that Nuffy did. I think people expected a lot more. It's pretty obvious now in hindsight that he wasn't ready for the job. And I think people out of West Coast actually at the time were saying, you're not ready to take on more than this. And he did. So, and I think he's proved that he's unworthy of it. Why has he still got a job? Well, the one thing I would say, other than the, like how much of it is actually his issue? I'm still going back to blaming my man, Cam Joyce. He's the one who's got us here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Okay. We're going to go down the Cam Joyce rabbit hole. Off you go, Jess. You're going to have to have a break. Go and sit down again for a sec.
All I'm saying is I think our list management rabbit absolute pit that we're in, I'd say if you're going to blame anyone for that, then it's the previous administration.
Well, let's go through some recruits, right? Let's go through some recruits and go, who did we think at the time was a disastrous decision? So when we got Jaden Stevenson for a second round pick, I thought, okay, that there's nothing wrong with that. The guy's won the Rising Star Award. So I certainly wasn't critical of getting Jaden Stevenson in.
I still don't think it's actually a terrible deal, all in all. I think he was pretty good last night. But...
No, it might not be as well. Same with Callum Coleman-Jones. So I watched what he did for Richmond the year prior. Kicked four or five goals a couple of times. He looked like a real prospect for me. So again, I wasn't upset with him either when they brought him in. Certainly wasn't upset about bringing Logan, and he did enough last year to suggest that he'd be a good player. So, I don't know. I mean, and how many draft picks have we had that you go, oh, that was a stupid draft pick? Now, I know that the Will Phillips Logan, I don't even think, was he even there for that? For the Will Phillips Logan McDonald one? That's debatable.
Yeah, he was. That was his first year.
Oh, okay. So, he might have, maybe he got that wrong, but no one was suggesting at the time that it was a crazy pick to bring Will Phillips in, given he was captain of the school at Caulfield Grammar. And by the way, he still hasn't failed yet. He's still at our club. And he had glandular fever for 18 months and didn't play his last year at school because of COVID. So
I actually think he was pretty solid last night.
He was very solid. I tell you what, if he's not with us next year, he'll be with someone else. So anyway,
100%.
We need to be careful. So I'm not sure how much he's done, you know, Nuffy. I don't know how much he's done wrong yet.
What about Jason Francis drafting him number one when it looked like
I'm blaming Scott Clayton for that one.
My understanding is Noble was demanded that we get Jason Horne Francis. That was what I was told at the time from inside the club.
But yeah, I heard Noble and Clayton very, very big on him, and Luffy in the spreadsheets was warning against it. He was saying that there was a Excel formula out of whack, and that was him going back.
Anyway, I mean, that was a mistake. We should never have drafted him, given from all understanding now, he was never going to stay. So that was an error, but we got away with it because we got... And to be fair to Rawlings, he made the most of that situation. He brought in, the next year, he brought in Wardlaw Sheasel. So, I don't know. I don't think our predicament at the moment's got anything to do with Brady Rawlings, Nuffy, to be fair, in that situation.
I think it's a very imbalanced list, Mark. I think you're being pretty generous there.
I think our list is imbalanced. But if you've got two or three coaches that kept saying we're going to build from the midfield out, so I'm not sure how much choice you've got when you've got that sort of decision making going on. So, I mean, but he's brought in Logue, Callum Coleman-Jones. I think he's doing whatever the head coach is asking him to do in terms of where he wants them to be. So I don't know. I don't think it's ever one person that makes these decisions. I think it's usually
three or four.
I think it's more complicated. I think if Clarkson thought he was an idiot, he'd already be gone. to be honest.
Mark, I was just going to chime in and say I think a lot of supporters are having this argument about come draft day, do you pick what you need on a needs based, or do you pick best available? And I always think back to when St Kilda took Paddy McCartan instead of Christian Petrarca because they felt they needed a tall forward. So sometimes you can look stupid trying to chase what you think the list desperately needs, and then other times you can look stupid when you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh Smiley, for example, so he's 195 centimetre big bodied mid. Let's say we unfortunately it does look like we're likely to get the first pick this year. I hope we don't, but we look like it's a fair chance it'll happen. I mean, I think we've got to take him. It's another midfielder. But if he's the standout, and I don't know enough about it, so I'm not saying I do. Assuming he is the standout, they can't take a key forward who would otherwise be the number 9 or 10 pick. Just because we need another key position player, you've got to take the best player available in that situation. So that's just the way it is. I don't know. You can. It's too easy from the distance we're at to criticise them at that level when it's not involved enough to know what they're doing. Mm. You know, it's too easy in hindsight to criticise people, I think.
I guess, Frank, the biggest trade winner we did out of the whole time Brawling's been there, Darcy Tucker, you'd have to agree with that.
Wasn't he the steak knives with Logue?
Darcy Turner, future third rounder. So
old Darcy Turner.
We didn't give up much for him. But
No,
he might well end up in All Australian this year. I think you're underplaying him. His
contribution. Well, Darcy players, they think he will. So
I wasn't that disappointed. I just think he's getting games when they're not warranted. But I don't think he ever came over to be anything other than a depth player, and you know that he was going to hopefully fill a role. But if he couldn't, or some young kid came through and took his role, that nobody was going to sit there and go, "I can't believe we dropped Darcy Tucker."
Frank, did you watch the NFL yesterday, Frank?
I went to the game.
Yeah.
So how did Curtis Taylor play?
He was okay.
He must be close to getting a game at the expense of Tucker.
He wasn't too bad. He was involved. He got a fair bit of the ball. He linked up pretty well. It didn't dominate, but he was very serviceable.
He must be getting close to getting a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, heartbreaking loss. Well, transition there, Frank. Heartbreaking loss for reserves yesterday. Lost by one goal. Luke Parker torpedo right at the end. Sealed our fate. Oh, we'll get peppered anyway. Probably would have lost anyway. Yep. But, a couple of decent performances. Miller Bergman and Curtis Taylor, I mean, they're probably the two standards. They seem to be almost forgotten players at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, well, look, Miller Bergman was really good. Had a couple of bad moments with some turnovers. But that's par for course at the moment on our list. So that's certainly not going to keep him out of senior football. But I thought he was really good. Dersma, look, it wasn't a game for the ages. I think he capitalised on better work up the ground, kicked one really nice goal out of the pocket, a real sort of forwards goal, a bit like the Bailey Fritch goal the other week. I thought Bergman, there was certainly nothing that I saw last night in our game that made me think, well, Bergman can't work his way in onto that list.
Anyone taking grabs in our forward line, Frank?
No, not really. Finbar had a quiet game, I felt, anyway. I really he went for a few of them but didn't really clunk any, to be honest. Sellers kicked the first and then was largely unsighted for the rest of the game. Look, he might have had, 20 disposals. I don't know. But I literally did not see him after
he's run he kicked the first. He's dented his confidence, unfortunately.
Yeah, he really didn't sort of do a hell of a lot. Obviously, a very bright start. I think it was a contested mark and goal in the opening minute and thought, here we go. But, he sort of fell away after that.
Pity.
Yeah. Jesse, did you I don't know if you've seen the game yesterday, but did you notice anything or any outstanding individuals out there? I thought, there's a couple of VFL players that did pretty well. I thought Watkins and Lawson held themselves really well. But did you notice any AFL-listed players that could put their hands up this week?
I think for one, I'm just shocked that Bergman hasn't got a game yet, to be honest. It just doesn't get it. I think we've got to reward, form. And for the most part, he's been pretty good form. Ford didn't hit he only got it behind, but he had 23 disposals. So he was pretty busy with it, So he's two games back in the VFL. 18, two goals, one. This weekend, he had 23 disposals and three tackles. Bizarre that he hasn't got hit that, that Ford isn't getting back in. But, Bergman for mine. So if you look at his games, he's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 VFL games. 29 disposals, 14, 24, 14, 23. He's laying tackles. He's taking marks. He took 7 marks on the weekend to go with his 23 disposals. It's just he's a young kid. He's what? He'd be in his – he was the Jason Horne Francis draft. So he's fairly young.
They probably don't want to drop Hardiman just yet because they're giving him a bit of a run.
I understand that, but you're going to drop one kid for someone who should be 2 years more developed.
No, I know. I'm just saying Hardman's doing a reasonable job. They probably want to give him a bit of a run at it.
That's fine. But then
Bergman was injured, so he will get a run at it sooner or later for sure.
He has to. He's the main one for mine from the players that I'd want to bring in. Curtis Taylor, you make an interesting point. I'd rather watch him run around than a few others. 20 disposals and a goal. So that means he had 22 last week, 20 this week. He had 25, 1 goal, 3 the other week. If he's doing that and he's not getting a game, he probably never is, unfortunately.
He'll get a game soon, for sure.
You'd hope so. Now, it was an interesting one. Young Will Dawson had 8 marks. Now, he only had 12 disposals, but 8 marks. So, I mean, that at least shows some glimmers. And he's going to take a while. He is a raw player. The main one for me would probably be Berg.
How's Goad going?
He's very raw.
Yeah.
He is very, very raw. 10
kilos, but, I mean, how's he looked?
Yeah, he kicked a goal. He only had 5 disposals. He kicked a goal and had 7 hit-outs. I mean, that's more than Jacob Edwards did in his entire VFL career for North. So he's better than that already. Sam Hayes coming in is going to help him a lot because otherwise Goad and Finbar were having to chop it out. It wasn't really working. Freeze injured. So Hayes coming in is really going to help. Dersma, again, I don't think he was dominant, but he's a good goal sneak. I think the two in for me are Bergman and Dersma. They're my two in. Oh, and obviously Ford.
Well, it makes things very interesting this week. There is, not selection headaches. We're certainly not down that track, but there is options there. Big game this week, Mark, against the Bombers. It's going to be a bit of a challenge. They're flying at the moment. They had a really good win against GWS the other day. How do you feel about this one? I don't feel confident at all. I'm worried, Mark.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, there couldn't be a sane North supporter in the country that is confident about us winning this week. We're all hoping that we're in the game at halftime. That would be a big plus if we could get to that point. And look, you never know. It's a two-horse race. Anything could happen. I think I said this before we went on. I made the comment that Clarko every week says we know where we're at. We're at a footy club. We just need to do it for longer. We will eventually become a good side. And I know a lot of people are getting sick of it and are frustrated. The reality is he signed for 5 years, Clarko.
Yeah.
And we can change the president. We can change the board. We can change the coach. But we probably should remember where Richmond was when they were about to overthrow the board, the coach and everyone else, and then they ended up winning 3 flags. So We just might have to keep suffering for a while and hope, and I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but hope that a four-time premiership coach knows what he's doing more than us. And then eventually it will turn. When he says it's going to turn, it probably will turn. Now, Mark, if we're wrong, then we're fucked anyway because he signed for 5 years and we can't afford to pay him out. So,
yeah. No. Mark, I was going to say, this week is the anniversary of the one-year anniversary of when we almost consigned the Swans to a 3-7 start last year. Had we not had that interchange infringement, we both would have been sitting on 3-7. So when people go, you can't turn things around quickly, well, you have a look at that and have a look at that where they are a year later and where we are. So it can change.
That's right. And I think I've got a feeling, and I might be wrong, I might be delusional, and I often am, but I've got a feeling that when the fact that our pressure rating in the first quarter and in periods of the previous week in St Kilda was really good is signs that we know as a group what we have to do. And when he keeps saying we have to do it for longer, I don't think that's just a line. I think that's true. So I don't think we're as bad as it feels right now. I do believe, in all honesty, that he made some decisions that the way we're playing and the way he's building the group, that we would have to take some steps back to go forward. And he's wearing the pain, knowing that eventually it'll be worthwhile. So we'll see. That might not be the case, but if it's not the case, then we're in a lot of trouble. We're stuck with it. So we have to back him in that he knows what he's doing. You don't win four premierships and not know what you're doing. So I just think that we've made a lot of mistakes over the previous 4 or 5 years, and we've got a very young side in at the moment. I think the back end of this year after the bye was when we'll start to see things start to really come good. I think we're just going to have to wait till then. I'm not expecting too much this week against Essendon. I think this could be a tough week for us, but we seem to come good at certain times, and he can weave some magic. So let's hope we're at least in it for, you know, 2 to 3 quarters of the game and see how we go.
Frank, I guess the positive is the first quarter we played, I mean, we were about 3 seconds away from being level on terms in the first quarter, and that was just through a couple of turnovers. We should have been 2 or 3 goals up. But when the football started becoming soggy, that's when we turned to shit. I felt like the first quarter was a good sign that maybe we could do it against Essendon this week, we can control the tempo, and we might, if we're in the game by half-time, halfway through the third quarter, they've got a tendency to panic a little bit. Their supporters start getting frustrated quite quickly. They showed it last year when we got within a goal, that they shit themselves. I just think if we have to try to be competitive, at least be within a couple of goals halfway through the third quarter. And you never know, do you, Frank?
Oh, well, you've convinced me, Dean. I was going to say I hope that we kick a goal next week. but you've sort of pumped up the tyres now. I'm feeling like maybe we can, but... Look, as I said earlier, Dean, I think our sort of opening 20 minutes for most games have been reasonably promising, and then we just seem to be very mentally fragile at the moment. Could a turnaround this week? I'd love to. They have had a history, Essendon, of throwing up the old flaky result every now and then when they're expected to win. I hope you're right.
No, so do I, to be honest with you. Jesse, how are you feeling about this week? Have you got any optimism left?
No. I'll put it this way. I watched the Essendon Giants game, I was pretty confident the Giants were going to win, and Essendon demolished them. That's the first game. I saw this stat the other week that said on all of the predicted scores based on...
Yeah, actual scores, yeah.
Yeah, Essendon was meant to have won one game this year. The rest of them, they on predicted score, they would have lost. Now, they have had a lot of close wins, a bit Collingwood-esque. That wasn't the case on the weekend. GWS for mine was the number one or number two seed, and they dispatched with them with ease. This could be 100 points this week, which is a real shame given that last year we lost to them twice by, what, a total of 8-9 points. They were probably our two most two best games for the year were against Essendon. That's all I want. I want us to come out and crash in and again have a really good game. It would be a shame to see us have gone that far back and then that far forward. What really annoys me is the one game that, you know, I'm really keen for us to crash in and win, and we've just gone on a bloody trip via Darwin. The players were cooked at half time, sweating. And they're going to come, now they're going to come back down to Marvel and play Essendon, who's just had a nice cruisy break, hadn't had to go on anywhere and played at Marvel. So, I mean, it is what it is, but they might make a few changes this week because players might be buggered.
Yeah, maybe the few of the older blokes like Shields might come in for a rest. He always seems to be carrying his calf. That's an old man's injury, so he seems to be strapping that and struggling to run by the looks of it on some occasions. But we'll see how we go. Anyways, boys, this has been a long podcast. Mark, any final words of wisdom?
I've got no wisdom to offer. I've got only pleading hope that we're at least competitive this week against Essendon, because I hate Essendon and their supporters have made me hate them even more this year. So if a miracle could ever happen, every the week I'd be hoping for it to happen. That is for sure.
Yep. Frank, any final words for us out there?
No, Dean. Look, I'll head in on Sunday and hope for the best. But, nothing other than let's hope we can still, like you said, still be within arm's reach at, you know, somewhere in the third quarter.
Jesse, any final words for Brad Scott? Talking up Taron Thomas of how much of a high character he is.
Yeah, that aged real well, didn't it? Yeah, good stuff, Brad. You've just shown, if everyone didn't already think you're an absolute wanker, you've just come out and proved it. That is absolute disgrace that you can, on the week of the AFL doing a, you know, trying to take a stand against violence against women, you come out and think it's good timing to say, oh, he's just a kid and he deserves another shot. The guy's had 50 goes at it. He just keeps going. If you, I've said it a million times, if you need to send someone off to go get a, do a course on how to talk to women respectfully, then they're probably not worth anything other than flushing down the toilet. And he wants to take another chance on him. Give me a spell, Brad. You're an absolute waste of space and a shit human being.
Yeah, he threatened to drop Sam Draper after pretty much telling the truth. That,
yeah. You got him making jokes on his podcast, which is, you don't want to see, they're having a go because a player has a personality and makes a tongue-in-cheek joke about something that, let's be honest, is true. Yeah. And then you come out and defend someone who violently messages women threatening to kill them. Yeah, give me a spell, Brad.
All right, well, we might as well leave on that note. Mark, we'll finish on such a high. Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on, Mark. I really appreciate it. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week.
No doubt. Love it, boys. Great to talk to you again.
Frank, really appreciate you coming on, mate. You take care and we'll chat next week.
Thanks, Dean. Thanks, boys.
Jesse, always a pleasure, mate. We'll chat next week, mate.
Thanks, mate.
So thank you very much to those individuals for coming on once again. Obviously getting a little bit tough. It is getting tougher each week. I can sense that with the supporters on socials and as well as those boys. But they keep fronting up each week, and that's all you can do at the end of the day. And thank you very much to all you listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for this show and telling your friends about it. That's probably the best way to put this show out. So I really appreciate everything you do for the podcast. So that's it for me for tonight. I'll try and get another show earlier in the week and maybe even later in the week. Just depends what comes up with my private life. There's always something that comes up that just annoys me. But if I get a spare, you know, couple of hours, I'll definitely try and organise more podcasts to come out. It'll be nice to do an extra one this week. But we'll see what happens. You'll definitely get one more anyway this week. Anyways, that's it for tonight. Thank you once again. Bye for now and go Roos.